Hi, my name is Sandra Josenholung, and I'm a health informatics specialist and researcher for the Cerebral Palsy Registry of Norway, located at the Vestfold Hospital in Tønsberg, Norway. And today I will briefly discuss our latest article entitled Comorbidities in Cerebral Palsy, a Patient Registry Study. This on behalf of myself and my co-authors. The aim of this study was to simply describe the total burden of disease in individuals with cerebral palsy in Norway. So to perform this study, we first predefined a comprehensive set of 43 disorder categories using the International Statistical Classification of Diseases 10th Revision, or ICD-10 diagnosis codes. Data that was then extracted from the Norwegian Patient Registry, which is a compulsory national administrative registry. And they collect all data from patients treated by the National Specialist Healthcare Services. This includes inpatient admissions and outpatient consultations at all general and psychiatric hospitals nationwide. And in Norway, all individuals with cerebral palsy are diagnosed and followed up in the National Specialist Healthcare Services. And this study is unique because all individuals with cerebral palsy recorded in the Norwegian Patient Registry were previously identified through a validation study in cooperation with the Cerebral Palsy Registry of Norway. So in this study, there were 966,760 Norwegian residents included, and they were born from 1996 to 2010. And of these, 2,302 had a validated diagnosis of cerebral palsy. And this is equivalent to a prevalence of 2.4 per 1,000 residents. So on to some of the results. In this study, we found that nearly all individuals with cerebral palsy, in fact 95%, born during the study period, had at least one comorbidity. And of those, 36% had at least one comorbidity that was either classified as medical, neurological, or mental and behavioral. We found that individuals with cerebral palsy had a mean number of 4 comorbidities per person, regardless of CP subtype. This compared to the general population without CP, where we were actually surprised that nearly half, or 45% of all children, youth, and young adults in Norway were also recorded in the Norwegian Patient Registry with at least one of these disorders. But then comes the difference, where only 3% were recorded with at least one disorder that was classified as either medical, neurological, and mental and behavioral. So I would like to show you two figures in this study. And this is the first one of risk differences. And risk differences are simply the proportion of individuals with cerebral palsy with each disorder minus the proportion in the general population without cerebral palsy. And this figure is a way to visualize the total burden of disease in this population. On the left side of this figure, you see the disorder categories. And they're also sorted as medical, neurological, and mental and behavioral. What I want you to note is that the vertical line is at 0, and this means that the risk was the same in both populations. However, as you can see, almost all of the tick marks are above 0, meaning that individuals with cerebral palsy have a higher excess risk for nearly all disorders than their counterparts in the general population. This figure is an area proportional Venn diagram, which shows the proportion of individuals with cerebral palsy per 3 comorbidity categories. And in this study, we defined a comorbidity as any disorder associated with cerebral palsy, but can also occur as a standalone disorder in individuals without cerebral palsy. And this was defined by Brown, Junsen, and Bax in a book entitled Comorbidities and Developmental Disorders. And in the book, they also described 3 comorbidity categories as shown here, where co-causal comorbidities in white, these are caused by the same injury to the developing brain which caused cerebral palsy. For example, epilepsy and cognitive impairment. And in gray, we have complications comorbidities, and these are complications of the main CP condition. For example, scoliosis and dislocation of hip. And in blue are co-occurring comorbidities, and these are neither co-causal nor complications, but are simply coincidentally occurring with cerebral palsy. Or maybe these are comorbidities are not intuitively related to cerebral palsy. And as you can see, there's quite a lot of overlap in this figure, where over half, or 52% of the individuals with cerebral palsy in this study had at least one comorbidity within all three co-causal, complications, and co-occurring categories. So to finalize the results section, regarding individuals with cerebral palsy, the most common neurological and mental and behavioral comorbidities were most likely co-causal, that is to say, caused by the same injury to the immature brain that caused cerebral palsy. Regarding medical comorbidities, they were more commonly complications of the main cerebral palsy condition or coincidentally occurring with cerebral palsy. To summarize or conclude this study, virtually all individuals with cerebral palsy in Norway had multiple comorbidities. And these are also comorbidities that are of different types that are very much overlapping, whether it's medical, neurological, or mental behavioral, or co-causal, or complications, or co-occurring comorbidities. And these comorbidities may substantially add to the burden of disease in this patient population. So identification of comorbidities and appropriate interventions are necessary to minimize or prevent the impact they may have on participation and quality of life. Thank you so much for listening to me today. This article is available at Developmental Medicine and Child Neurology and is open access, which means it is available for all to read. Thank you very much.